again. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Thanks for your support as always. The subscriber list continues to grow pretty rapidly. We're not even 3 weeks into this, and we're getting a lot of interest, and I am grateful. I don't take that for granted. I've been trying to answer some more questions. I did about 2 hours of that yesterday in the comment section. I think I got to about 90 or so, but I'll try to do even better going forward. All right, Cardinals won 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. That's good. We'll see where it goes from here. But we've been talking a lot about the future of the Cardinals. And it's not that I'm giving up on anything this year, but yeah, am I skeptical? Am I highly skeptical? Am I doubtful they're going to make the playoffs? Yeah, of course I am. But I wanted to get back to the future because I think this is something that really needs to be pointed out. And I'm sure a lot of you already are aware of it, but I wanted to kind of clarify it and get into it a little bit. I got friends in baseball that work in front offices or their scouts. And, you know, I like to check in with them every now and then. And so I thought, well, you know, the Cardinals having another year where I'm going to be polite and say challenged, right? There's a lot of things that have gone wrong that were supposed to go right. Like Jordan Walker, not firing out this year, Nolan Gorman having a tremendous relapse, just an enormous collapse, and some other players like Lars Nootbaar who have not come through. And so I talked to someone I know is a really reliable go-to because he is objective. It's not like he's sitting here and he's like celebrating the fact the Cardinals are struggling again this year. It's not that at all. We've known each other a long time. So if I ask him a question, he'll give me his insight. He'll take whatever bias he has out of it. So I respect that. Anyway, I asked him, I said, listen, what's the view in baseball circles of the Cardinals right now? And he said, you know, frankly, it's scary when you look ahead. If I'm sitting there, if I'm a member of that organization and I'm sitting there, it looks kind of scary, you know, over the next 3-4 years. And I said, well, what do you mean by scary? And he said, listen, we were talking about the offense, just to clarify, sorry. He said, well, if, you know, Goldschmidt's near the end, Nolan Arenado, they've got him under contract for 25, 26, 27. And he's getting his hits and he's doing some positive things, but the power's not there anymore, not the way they need it to be. So you're sort of coming to the conclusion, the final descent of their careers, and what's behind them. Like, what do the Cardinals have coming? And, you know, that is a really, really good question. And it's an obvious question. And that's why I'm talking about it today. So you look at the roster, Mason Wynn's, you know, looks like the kind of guy that's going to be here a long time. And listen, I got confidence that he's not going to crash the way Walker did, the way Gorman did. He's a really, really, really confident guy. And he is outstanding about making adjustments. Like, he knows his own swing. He knows what he's got to do better, and he gets after it. I've been an Alec Burleson fan from the beginning. I always thought he would hit in the big leagues. And that said, he's had a really nice year, really good year. But he can't hit left-handed pitching. You know, he's a guy that can really punish right-handed pitching, but has not gotten to the point where he can play every day. And that's okay. You have a big, you know, big time platoon bat. It's not like that doesn't happen. That's pretty common. But I'm just saying, it's not a guy who'll play every day. And you look at some other guys on the team. I mentioned Nootbaar. He has not come close really over the last 2 seasons to being anything that the Cardinals were dreaming of and hoping for. He's had too many injury setbacks. He's really been disappointing. I'm not writing him off, but, you know, if you're looking at this team 2 or 3 years, 4 years down the road, I mean, how does Nootbaar figure in? Is he going to be another washout? And that's what my friend said, who works in a front office for another team. He said, they've had so many guys wash out. You know, everybody thought Dylan Carlson was really going to be good. Everyone after 2021 thought Tyler O'Neill had figured it out. And going forward, he was going to be strong. He said, you know, they traded at Randy Arozarena, and I understand why they did. They really thought highly of Libertor, and they thought they had enough outfielders at the time. It looked like that, okay. But that didn't work out. And they probably gave him up before actually giving him enough time to play at the big league level. And that is absolutely true. I've talked about that, written about that. You know, and they had a guy like Adolis Garcia, who, again, they never really gave an opportunity to. And listen, a lot of other teams could have jumped on him when the Cardinals, you know, made a decision to move ahead without him. So he has surprised a lot of teams, and that should be noted, because I think it's a cheap shot to act like the Cardinals were the only team. But they were the ones that had him first. They signed him. If nothing else, you've got to see what he can do. You just can't give up that soon, and I think that's a valid criticism. So, again, back to my friend, the question is, well, he asked me, well, what's going to look like 3-4 years from now? Because as Goldie and Arenado kind of move down the road, what's it going to be like? Like, for example, Arenado's final season and then beyond that. What do they have coming? Victor Scott, don't know about him as far as, is he going to be all that? Is he going to develop into a really good above average major league center fielder? That's a question. I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, don't worry about him. He's going to be great, right? We need to knock that stuff off. We in the media, being a part of this whole thing of like overrating Cardinals prospects. But I think that happens in every other market as well. So where's the next wave of young offensive talent? You would hope that J.J. Weatherholt, who was drafted 7th overall in this year's draft, is going to be as good as neutral observers claim he will be. But I don't think there's any, this is sad to say, I don't think there's any young hitter rising up in the Cardinals organization where I can look at and say, well, they can't screw this guy up. I mean, I'd like to say that, oh, well, he's going to be fantastic. No worries. Move on. Just cross his name off the list. He's going to be a nucleus player for a long time. I want to believe it. And I think the chances of him being really good are really strong. But, you know, a lot of this depends on also what the Cardinals are going to be doing with their coaching staff and with their manager and with the front office and who's going to be supervising all these young hitters. And we're talking about hitters today, young hitters that are part of the next wave. It also depends on whether the Cardinals, and I'm going to do a video on this soon, whether the Cardinals are going to get up to speed in terms of their infrastructure, because we obsess over the major league roster, as we should, right? Because that's what it's all about. How's the big club doing? But the big club is not going to be able to get the most out of their young pitchers and hitters until they give those people, those kids, all the tools that are necessary to maximize their potential. And the Cardinals are, this is something that doesn't get enough attention. The Cardinals are shorthanded compared to most teams, organizations when it comes to staffing in the minor leagues. They have good instructors. They don't have enough of them. They have pretty good coaches, but the ones that are good, they need many, many more just like that. They're way behind on establishing comprehensive pitching labs and hitting labs. And I know some of you hate all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. But that stuff is here. It's not going anywhere. It's becoming increasingly important. So as much as we all, you know, I don't, but as much as some of you respectfully kind of want to rage against the machine, I like baseball the way it used to be. Well, you know what? I do too. But that doesn't change the fact that going forward, this stuff is here to stay. And if all the other teams are moving ahead of the Cardinals in these areas, infrastructure, I'm just going to call it that, not just at the major league level, but at the minor league level, where all you have all your guys, your so-called prospects, your real good prospects, maybe some sleeper candidates, they're in development. And if they're not going to get as much down below as far as all the tools and all the teaching, all the instruction, if they're not going to get is enough of that compared to a lot of teams that the Cardinals are competing against and then some, well, you're at a disadvantage. See, I said I was going to do a whole video on this, and I will, but I just wanted to touch on it because it's part of a bigger story. So you would think that, you know, J.J. Weatherholt will be a good hitter for a long time. Who knows? All right. I'm a fan of Thomas Sagesi, who they got in the Texas Rangers deal from Montgomery last summer. And I'm going to hold off on that. I mean, we like his potential. I mean, he just hits. So maybe he's one that will develop into an above average major league hitter or more, right? But again, I can't count on that. You can't count on that. We cannot count on that. All right. So you look at some other guys in the organization, and you know, I'm looking at MLB Pipeline, their top 30. And I want to say this as an aside real quick as well. I don't claim to be a prospect expert. When I'm going through names, and I'm not going to go through another lane and a lot of names here, because what's the point? I've got nothing to show off when it comes to, you know, close knowledge of these guys. And so for my friends who are watching this, who are really, really well-schooled in these matters, don't get mad at me if I leave somebody out. I'm just going broad strokes here, broad brush strokes. So JC is I think so, but can't count on it for him to be a core nucleus guy. Not yet. Chase Davis, who they drafted last year, who got off to a terrible start in the minors, the outfielder, he has shown some signs of progress. He's a maybe. Be totally ridiculous to say, oh my gosh, yeah, he's going to be a Cardinal, a great hitter for a long time. You got a lot of catchers. I mean, Jimmy Crooks and Leonardo Bernal and another catcher, Ryan Campos. Cardinals have a lot of catchers. I know that. So who else are we talking about as far as young hitters? Where is the next wave if Walker and Gorman do not be what we all expected them to be? If Newt Barr can never get it out of neutral and become what we think he's capable of doing. Where are we going with this, right? And that is scary when you think about it. It's really scary when you think about it, because it's not like they have this treasure trove of elite hitting prospects waiting, right? They're on the runway. It's just not true, and it would be hyperbole to suggest otherwise. There could be some surprises. That happens. I hope the Cardinals are fortunate enough to have that happen to them. But, you know, when you look at all the trades last summer, like one of the guys they got for Flaherty was Cesar Prieto. He's the 16th prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. Again, I don't see that the Cardinals view him as anything special. And there is some young pitching that's on the way. And, you know, if Tink Hens can ever stay, and I'm skeptical of that. He could be special. If Tekoa Roby, who they got from Texas, can stay healthy, which has been a tremendous challenge for him. He could be a mid-rotation guy. They have Quinn Matthews is legitimately exciting pitching prospect, okay? But there are some others. Again, I'm not going through the whole list. But here's the deal. You say, well, they're going to have to trade for guys. Well, who's going to make the trades? Who's going to be running the thing, right? Do you trust the current regime to make trades? Are they willing to give up top prospects? No, I would say this regime is not. So who are they going to trade exactly to get major impact moves, right? Do you trust this regime to sign free agent hitters that aren't like half measure steps? Do you count on Bill DeWitt say, nope, we got to spend more money now because we have to get this thing right. We're going to spend more money. Do you trust that? I don't think you do. Why should we? Will there be enough coaches and instructors? Are they going to expand the major league staff? It's just, even when you say, well, okay, well, here are the potential solutions, right? It's not like you say, okay, all right, now there's a plan, because we don't know who's going to be running things. And that's also a scary thing, the idea that they're not going to turn this thing over upside down after this season. So I'm not trying to be negative, man. I'm not. I'm just saying, when you look ahead, and again, I'm getting this from other baseball people. You look ahead, say, man, the fact that their hitters, their young hitters flame out, and you don't, there's not a lot coming. It's kind of a scary situation for the Cardinals. And I don't think that is a hot take thing. I think it's a pretty practical, pragmatic view. I may be back later. Thank you for watching, as always.